Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dissecting Liberty podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Cotton Archist.
Howdy.
That was a long pause. All right.
Maybe, and, potentially. And
some of you may recognize that laugh. We have Sean back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, feels good to be back.
Yeah. Of Sean V Planet, That's Offensive, and what's your third podcast? The art one, right?
He only has three.
Yeah, I have three podcasts. Talk About Art, That's Offensive, and Sean Fights the Internet, and they're all on my channel, Sean V Planet.
Yeah, only three. It's a little confusing. Those are rookie numbers. You got to pump those up.
Dude. I know, yeah. I got to get like five or six going. I also make blogs and live streams, and I'm writing a book. So, nice. You know, I could just add a few more podcasts into the rotation.
Yeah. Well, anyway, today we're going to talk about why it might be that libertarians, anarchists, people that value liberty they seem to be hesitant to act on those principles and like take a stand and take like action that, you know, it is meaningful beyond, you know, all of us being on Twitter and, you know, agreeing with each other and ratioing statists. So we're going to talk about that. And Sean, he has some interesting thoughts on that. And, you know, I think that a lot of people, that a lot of our listeners might disagree, but that's okay because you guys suck. No. So, but yeah, we're going to talk about it. And, you know, you can disagree, but we're trying to get some answers to this question. And yeah, that's why we have Sean here. So anyway, Sean, is that a good start for you?
Yeah.
Can you take it from here?
Yeah. Well, all right. Definitely emphasis on the thoughts. That's a big problem facing the libertarians. I mean, I guess I didn't really have anything like specifically prepared, but just kind of going back to like some previous streams and podcasts where I was talking about this topic. I just, over the last few months, I've really noticed how like degenerate libertarians are, how like sex and porn and drug obsessed they are. And, you know, and then I just think that leads to inaction. I think that leads to like weakness. And I see a lot of libertarians being like overly emotional and just kind of like hedonistic, like pleasure seeking. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes people inactive. I think especially the porn and the drugs, I think it's gotten to the point where we're so bombarded with it on our screens 24/7 that it just demoralizes us. Like it literally breaks down our morality and it breaks down our you know, physically our brains and our spirits, and also just like depletes our energy levels. And I think the result is just a bunch of weak men crying and bitching and not actually doing anything. And I mean, it's very noticeable in general, like on the bigger scale. Obviously, this is one of those like topics also where it's like not all but most. I'm not talking about 100%, obviously. Like, I'm not fucking retarded. Like, I'm not putting every single person into the same category.
Right.
Not all, but most. I think most people who are just like freedom and liberty minded have just become so weak and overly emotional, and it's stopping them from actually taking action on a lot of things. And just, you know, it causes a lot of anger, causes fear, it causes despair, degeneracy, desperation, and it just kind of leads to voluntary enslavement. We become addicted to pleasure, and we become addicted to material wealth, and we stop worrying about fighting for and taking action for what's right and what we truly believe in. And my conspiracy mind leads me to believe that it's on purpose. Like, I think if the government is serious about maintaining its control over the population, the biggest threats to it are going to be people who want freedom, like the people who are going to resist being controlled and being enslaved. And so it only makes sense that those people in power are going to bombard and dumb down and, you know, make the people who are freedom and liberty minded weak and emotional and docile and confused and traumatized. So I don't think it's an accident. I mean, I think they are really bombarding us with just degeneracy in general and just, you know, pleasures and material wealth seeking, material comfort and security seeking. And to me, that just seems like the inevitable result of people who want freedom challenging government authority. It's like the government can easily distract us and keep us down by getting us hooked to flesh pleasures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can just keep ranting for the next hour. Do you want to break
it? Me and Zero popped into one of your streams the other day.
Yeah.
And you said something really interesting that never had occurred to me about porn, was that, like, you would think, because porn is not cheap to produce, that it would cost money to access it, but just the abundance of free porn is very suspect.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, what's that saying? Like, if something is free, then you're the product.
Yeah.
That kind of entered my mind a while back too, where it's like, why is it free? Like, porn should be, not only is it in high demand, you know what I mean? Like, if you just think of the basic economics of it, there's such high demand at this point. I mean, the statistics are what, like 99% of men have watched porn, or I think 90% actively watch porn. It's in our pockets. Wow. It's accessible 24/7 in our pockets whenever we want. And it's just in such a high demand because we are so weak and we are so broken and pleasure obsessed, that you'd think they would be charging money and we would be paying for it.
Well, it's like
supply and the demand doesn't seem to be matching for how high of a demand there is. It seems like there could be this big giant incentive to make a bunch of money off of that, but yet it's free. Yet it's like so accessible everywhere. And the excuse I've heard people say when I bring this topic up is like, well, there's ads. You know, oh, there's ads on the side of the page. And it's like, A, whoever clicks on any of the fucking ads, and B, aren't half of the ads other porn sites? Yeah, it's like the porn sites are advertising porn sites, and then you click on the ads and it's more porn sites advertising porn sites. And if you just stop and think about how much money has to go into just like the production value, like the physical producing of the video and the content, all the editing involved, all the actors, the sets, the studios, and then just in general, you start talking about like server space and like streaming quality, and you start to see, like, if you were to just go to whatever porn site, pull something up, it's like really, I mean, it loads pretty quickly and there's giant catalogs and collections, you know, and that stuff really isn't cheap.
No.
And the fact that you can just access it free, or the fact that there's like some ads scattered about to other porn sites, the money just doesn't seem to match. Like, the supply doesn't seem to match the demand, which just makes me believe like it's being pushed on us. Like, it's being used almost like a weapon against us. And I mean, when you stop and think about that, it becomes pretty clear to see why.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with social media to maybe a lesser extent, but it's totally geared to like giving you that, not like that hit of dopamine, right? When you have some tweet that gets really popular, or, you know, I don't know, TikTok. I don't use TikTok, but, I've used enough social. Right. Yeah.
Liberty Zero doesn't produce TikToks, but, you know, he watches a few.
Do I? Is that right?
Yeah. You watch a few.
I see the ones that show up on Twitter. Yes. But yeah.
I'm a big fan of the flat earth TikToks.
Wait, what?
There's like, you know, the TikToks are for the most part like little teenage girls dancing and stuff and just stupid little comedy bits and stuff.
Right,
and then there's some people who like get on there and they spend like 60 seconds like being like conspiracy theorists.
I know, kind of funny.
There's like, the one with like, there's the one
bomb TikToks.
Yeah, there's the one with the kid with like the Nerf gun or whatever.
Yeah.
And I forget what he's talking about.
He's talking about the Vegas shooting.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I know.
I like the truth bomb TikToks, yeah.
I know the podcast Your Mom's House that Tom Segura does. They go down crazy TikTok rabbit holes and find like the most disgusting TikToks you can find, the most weird people. And it's hilarious. Like, that's the side of TikTok you don't see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dissecting Liberty on TikTok soon.
next time you're on TikTok, just take a second to think about and appreciate China and the Chinese Communist Party for bringing you that technology.
As we talk Zoom.
Give them a little salute. Give China a little salute. Thank you for your service, Communist Party of China. Thank you. I appreciate your service you're providing us.
Yeah. It just, yeah. Going back to what you're saying, if you're able to have that dopamine hit, and I don't know a better term for it, but yeah, like a dopamine hit, just all the time with your phone, you know, however you're using it, whether it's porn or, social media or whatever. I mean, that'll keep you complacent. And yeah. I don't know how the communists, like through this whole time, right, with the communists doing the Chaz thing and tearing down statues and whatnot, I disagree with what they're doing, but at the same time, they are taking action, unlike many of us, in the Liberty community. And you definitely know that it's not like they're abstaining. So, sorry, that was a tangent. But anyway,
I have one thing to say about porn before we get too far off.
Yeah, go for it.
This comes a bit from my background, but there's very little research on how porn affects the brain, which is suspect to me.
And there's
one study that all the psychologists cite as saying that porn doesn't negatively affect the brain. Here was what they did in the study, and let me then ask y'all if y'all think that this is a good method of research. So what they did was they brought people into this sterilized hospital examination room, right? They put a fMRI helmet on them, which is like an MRI, but then you can actively read the brain waves while the experiment's going, where a MRI, you can put it on, scan it once, and then look at the static reading. fMRI is a much more dynamic way of doing an MRI. But so they put the helmet on them, which already is nasty, because I don't know if y'all have had an MRI before, but they put all that goop on your head and they have to stick the thing to your head. And it's uncomfortable. And then they had a decent amount of people in the room, nurses and researchers and doctors. And then like they'd show a person like a picture of a family at the beach, not necessarily in this order, but just kind of intermittently, like a neutral image like that. They'd show like an image of a lion eating a gazelle, and then they would like show a image of something from porn or a naked woman or something. And they said, well, you can see that the dopamine doesn't rise when the pornographic images are shown. Well, yeah, because they have this goopy helmet on their head and they're surrounded by a ton of people and they're in this super bright, fluorescent light having a hospital room. And I mean, it makes no sense. But then there are a couple that seem to have gotten past the sensors. Your brain based from those studies, more stuff needs to be done, of course, but from those studies, it shows you when you're watching porn, your brain does damn near the exact same thing it does when you're doing cocaine, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just a flood of dopamine. Then, of course, like cocaine or any other substances that affect dopamine, whether it be coffee or nicotine, you get a hangover, you know? And like, I would say that, and I think both of y'all will agree with me on this, that men that watch a lot of porn are in that perpetual dopamine rush hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, as you, like as time progresses and you're doing that, like your search history gets weirder and weirder.
Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously,
because you build up a tolerance just like
exactly
with any other drug, so you have to watch weirder and weirder stuff.
You get like desensitized to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so now drug. You need two women, and then next week you need to like see your a stepmom, and then the next week you need to see bondage, and then the next week you know, it's like you need to keep advancing more and more.
Then you have to see Hooter Femboys.
Cotton, whoa.
Personal experience here?
Do y'all not know about that?
Cotton, are you just reading your search history right now?
I'll explain it, but if you want to know my search history...
We're not going there.
My search history is nothing but news articles and audio editing tutorial videos. That's it.
And Hitler anime porn that he's conveniently leaving out.
Oh, damn. I forgot.
Left out.
We're going to have to take a break here in a minute, but I'll tell you all about the Hooter Femboys thing. Apparently, the Hooters Twitter account got an email about Femboys, and they posted it, and they're like, gosh, this is something you love to see on a Monday morning or something. So somebody made fan art of a Femboy Hooters. And it was a big thing on social media. What y'all need to do is abandon your real lives, all right? Just leave your job, whatever, and spend all your time on Twitter like I do.
Actually, I would suggest you go watch porn.
It might be better.
Yeah, it might be healthier than 24/7 use of Twitter. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And we'll be back in a second. Hey y'all, Cotton here. I have been undergoing a project called the Cotton Report that is part news aggregator and publication. I'd really appreciate it if y'all check it out. It's at cottonreport.com. We have several articles already up, and there's already a lot of useful info on there and very interesting stuff. Written by authors for the website and not. So I really appreciate it if y'all check it out and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, we're back from the break. Sean has a couple more things to say about the conversation we were having earlier.
Yeah. Well, so what you're saying, like, there is like, it is suspicious why there's like a lack of studies. And it's also suspicious why a lot of studies are done on rats and not on humans. Suspicious, to say the least. But overall, like, I think just the proof is in the addictive nature of it and how addicted people are. I mean, I know from experience, it was really tough quitting watching porn. I'm like 10 months now free from it. Mm-hmm. But when it first happened, I mean, the first week was insane. It was harder for me than quitting smoking cigarettes or quitting smoking, drinking alcohol. And I think a lot of men out there would agree with me. I posted a couple weeks ago on my Facebook, on multiple of my social media accounts, just the simple phrase, stop watching porn. And the amount of insane, like overly angry, overly emotional responses I got, a lot from like libertarians and anarchists, like, how dare you? Why are you worried about what we're doing? Why are you trying to tell us what to do? Why are you trying to control our lives? Yeah. And it's like, literally, I'm just advocating for you to choose to do something better.
Yeah, that's the craziest. That was the craziest thing.
Reaction, that like visceral, angry, like, you know, defensive reaction is addiction. I mean, it's just clear to me to see like you are addicted to this thing and you're defending it and you're unable to overcome it. And you're taking it out on me, the guy recommending that you do so, you know, the guy saying, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't get drunk every night. Yeah. How dare you? Why are you trying to control my life, man?
I think that part of that is the state's fault. I know that's a crazy statement for a libertarian to say, but I think the state has, especially with like drugs, I think the state has caused this like false dichotomy in people's minds where either it's illegal. Like if you say it's bad to do heroin, somebody's like, oh, you're a statist. No, I'm not saying it should be illegal to do heroin, but I'm saying it's bad for you. So it's bad to do porn or watch porn. It's bad to do porn also, but it's bad to watch it. But that doesn't mean I want to make it illegal, you know?
Yeah. And another aspect of that is that, like, at least I feel like part of it is either guilt or people like know that it's wrong and it's not healthy for them. Because if you were to say, I don't know, pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, for instance. That's a fun one. Yeah. Like people will react, but it's all, you know, joking around, right? Because no one actually cares, right?
I do.
Well,
Shut the fuck up, Cotton. That's
pineapple on pizza.
But yeah, it's one of those things where like people get really upset when, if they were to think about it rationally, or you know, their emotions didn't kick in just automatically, they like you wouldn't be getting that, because like you're just advocating, hey, I think this lifestyle is better.
Yeah.
I think this is better for you. And yeah, being angry at someone for suggesting something like that to me suggests that deep down people know that there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Well, like no matter, like maybe you don't believe that it's immoral, but, you know, maybe it's just the physical, or psychological like harm, you know, and you know that deep down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's cool. The point I was trying to make.
Well, yeah, I mean, on my Facebook, I posted it and I got all this backlash. Like it was like five or six different guys. Four of them are like, no, like very well, either known to me or known in general to be like very libertarian or very anarchist mm-hmm. people. And so in their reaction, I was like, well, then if you guys like are so staunchly in defense of your porn use, why don't you just post your porn history on your Facebook page? And then imagine the result, the response. You know, it's
you
like,
you can do it on Twitter.
They're like, it's okay. It's fine. It's not harmful. It's not destructive. Why are you worried about what we're doing?
But like, they don't want kids watching it.
But then it's like, okay, well, if it's so great and it's not a big deal, why don't you just go ahead and tell everyone what you're doing? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and you just see the rats scurry away, you know?
Yep.
And that's too, like, that just shows, it's like they show you that they're addicted to it and that it is addictive, and they show you that they know it's bad and they know it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like there's 0% chance they're going to go on and post what they're actually looking up on Facebook because they know it's wrong. They know that people don't like it or agree with it or want them doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was just from personal experience. But I did want to say this kind of before we move on. In my opinion, just based on, I mean, I do think a lot of the studies are like pseudoscience, so it's hard to really trust who is promoting it or who's, you know, funding or like, you know, trying to dissuade or silence results from studies out there. Right. But from what I've seen and what I've been led to believe from personal experience and just from like things I've seen and read about, To me, in my opinion, it seems porn is a weapon, and it seems like it does cause brain damage. And honestly, too, it like just causes low testosterone and anxiety and depression and like decreased self-confidence and just the physical act of coming. Sorry to get too graphic, but like coming a lot, it actually like depletes your minerals, like to an extent. I don't know exactly what it is, but it actually is an insane amount. Like, it's like a couple teaspoons is basically like your week's worth of minerals you get from eating like a bunch of steaks and red meat. So you basically have to like replete your mineral output from just a couple squirts, you know? Mm. And I think in general, psychologically too, I mean, it's physically, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of money. It can be a waste of money. But psychologically, it disconnects us from reality, and it just degrades men and women in like their daily lives and their daily interactions. And I think it's all pushed on us to control population and to keep us docile and passive.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just seems like the smut suppliers are benefiting, and it's at our expense. And you know, we become voluntarily enslaved as a result, and just dependent on their pleasures, on the pleasures they supply us, and it's again, it's not about like making it illegal. It's not about like physically stopping people from doing it, but we need to like encourage people to start saying no and rejecting like these people who are pushing this pleasure degeneracy on us.
I got your
otherwise
new
we're just
slogan
keep
for you,
enslaved.
Sean.
Yeah.
I got your new slogan for you.
Yeah.
Let's hear keep your minerals, stop coming, just say no.
Yeah. Yeah. No more coom. Make America coom less.
No more coom. Make minerals go bye-bye.
Yeah. But also, I mean, if you just do stop and think about it, like, we don't need it. We don't need porn, and we don't need excessive like coming. And, you know, our ancestors didn't need it. Like, this is so relatively new, and it's not like we need it. There's no actual like desire to do it. And I don't know. It just seems like we're ruining our like primal natures and our like primal attractions, and we're just depleting our energy, and we're like degrading and ruining our spirits. And I think that's causing a lot of problems in society. I think it's distracting us and keeping us all passive and weak. And I think the results are, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The fact that like the nation's being taken over by communists right now and no one's really batting an eye is kind of proof of that. We talked about it the last time I was on this show, but like just the fact that there's so many like women with like three boyfriends and there's so many like, you know, there's just so much hair dye and nose piercings and stuff going around. It's just like clear signs that like society and people in general are just breaking down and becoming weak.
Sean, do you know the YouTube channel I Hypocrite?
No. Sounds interesting.
I'll put a link in the show notes, and I'll send his channel to you when we're done recording. I think you'll really like him. He does these videos. He came to mind because I know he did a video where he like talks about the scourge of polyamory in big cities. But his most popular thing is he does these videos called You Can't Stop Progress, where he makes a just like an hour-long compilation of the craziest stuff coming out of like the liberal left in the country. And it's good stuff. He does good stuff. I don't agree with everything he says, but I probably agree with most of it.
The polyamory too is a natural result of, I forget, there's like a certain like principle, and it's a real actual thing of like the 80-20% breakdown. And so with the increase of like online dating and Tinder and all this stuff and sexual liberation, so the fact that like couples, like men and women aren't pairing up and getting married and securing their partnerships forever, there's like the sexual liberation where everyone can bounce around from partner to partner at any time, at all times. It has made an imbalance. So basically like the top 20% of women, I'm sorry, the top 20% of men end up hooking up with and having sex loosely and casually with 80% of the women. So there's this giant imbalance of all these men out there not getting laid, and it makes them angry and lonely and desperate. And if you look at like Tinder, I mean, Tinder is basically just a bunch of women picking from 5% of the men on there. You know, I mean, if you're not a Chad, if you're not like a super alpha male or one of like the peak, you know, prettiest or most interesting people on Tinder, like you're not getting laid. But all of those guys are. They're running through. I mean, the top 5, top 10% of men on Tinder are just running through all of the women. And everyone else, all the other men out there are left and end up becoming incels. Like they end up being left out. And they end up basically just taking the scraps that they're given later on in life, or they end up, you know, polyamorous relationships. They end up settling for, well, I can't get a girl, so I'll get half a girl. I'll share a woman with a man, you know?
Oh, it's like that chick that they made the news story about a while ago, where she had like 5 boyfriends.
Yeah.
And then she was pregnant, and like all, like the dude that impregnated her was like all smug, and the other
guy. You guys heard the end of that story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the child abuse was inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all those men, I mean, it's just angry men. Disassociated men who don't actually have a spiritual connection with a partner, and they don't feel connected. Like, to me, it's like all this stuff just is like, so of course, when you stop and think about it, when your brain isn't like bombarded with porn and drugs, you start to like see and recognize patterns and trends. And to me, at like times I have to stop and pinch myself and be like, well, it's so obvious to me, but I have to like explain this to other people. And that's just one of those, like, of course that child is just not going to have a great life.
I mean, even if there wasn't like physical abuse, you know, just being in that household as a child, that's not okay.
Yeah. And you brought up something, you're talking about that spiritual connection, between like a man and wife. And that's something I've been reading up on, as I'm nearing, getting married, here in a month. And like that's it's something I've been thinking about. It's like when you're married to someone, you have to put away like a lot of your pride and you know, a lot of your selfish desires, because like being in a relationship, it's not easy. And a lot of times you have to you have to
humble yourself.
You have to humble yourself. You have to
you realize you're not the center of the universe, you know.
Right. Yeah. I thought you were calling me out there for a second. no, but
well, yes, zero.
I'm not saying this well, but basically that the reactions that you want to have, the reactions that you have when you're a single guy where you can just like break off relationships with you know, friends and stuff like that, or you know, block someone on Facebook or Twitter, right? Like you have to set aside that stuff, and you have to stop being a selfish, and you have to put that other person first. And that's like, that's when you have a bunch of single guys that aren't in relationships, and they're part of the reason they're not in relationships is they're watching porn, they're getting that dopamine hit. They're thinking selfishly, and they're not going to act on their their higher aspirations. And yeah, they're just not, you're not going to have people acting on noble, you know, like on their principles.
Yeah. They're not seeking to spiritually elevate themselves. They're just seeking like physical rewards and a release of their anger and their depression.
And marriage changes a lot of that, especially if,
definitely,
at least for me, like I think of it as, especially if you're in a God-centered marriage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you become two independent, unique souls that become one team. That's very powerful. And when you stop and have it, not just a loose sexual relationship based on flesh pleasures or temporary lust, you know, temporary feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes an eternal bond of two people now fighting against the world with each other. Yeah, there's something about that. Can I read real quick a more concise thing? Someone sent me this after one of my live streams. I was kind of talking about one of these topics. He told me he kind of gave me this information, and I kind of also put it in a later stream too. But he said the rise of desperate men is due to sexual liberation. The lack of paired couples causes an imbalanced mating system. The most attractive men, the top 15 to 5% of men, are getting laid regularly in our society today, using online dating apps like Tinder and Facebook and DMs, social media DMs. And the rest of the men out there, the rest of the, you know, 75 to 90% of men out there who aren't getting laid regularly, they end up with porn and online fantasies. They settle with women who are already being used and abused by that top percentage of men, the men not getting laid regularly in society, in our sexually liberated society, are left to pay money to porn stars to get their sexual release and give money to e-girls to feel acknowledged or interact with the members of the opposite sex who are not interacting or spending time with them in the real world. The desperation is running wild and it's destroying us. Incels are only a thing in our modern era because of our sexual liberation. And if we actually waited for wedlock to engage in sexual relations, we would be pairing up and having meaningful relationships with healthy interactions with members of the opposite sex. And I think that kind of speaks to what you were saying too. Like, it just becomes like healthy. It becomes regular and normal, and not this like act of desperation or this act of like triumph that we see with like the top and bottom percentages of men.
I'm gonna make a really terrible, not allegory. I'm gonna give a really terrible, example. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like having discipline to work out and eat right. Like if you are disciplining yourself and like enough to be able to have a stable relationship, like that's healthy for you.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you're not going to be disciplined and, you know, refrain from watching porn and you're not going to have the maturity, like, or, and you don't even get the opportunity to like mature, with a woman, then like, that's not healthy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think so many, mental issues can be sorted out by exercise, eating right, and stop, things such as watching porn or anything that, that messes with your dopamine. And I mean, like that, yeah. Like Twitter is in that, but then that could also be like a Twitter break of some sort, because the dopamine you get from Twitter isn't anywhere near porn. But
yeah,
you know, it's just cut down on stuff like that, and then cut out things like porn that affect you foundationally. Cut that out completely.
And something that Sean said on his live stream the other day was embrace the struggle.
Yeah,
and definitely. Like that really hit me. You have to embrace that struggle, even though it's so easy and like the temptation is there. You got to embrace the struggle if you want to actually progress and you know, form meaningful relationships and just be healthier mentally and physically and spiritually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 29 right now and I'm the healthiest I've ever been. And I'm not exaggerating or kidding. Like, I'm so healthy compared to the rest of my younger years right now, because I've been sober for a year. I've been off porn for almost a year. Lately, I've been exercising every day. Getting a lot of sunlight, I think, is also key. Nice. And having interactions with people, like face-to-face human contact, like handshakes and hugs and like eye-to-eye speaking to people, not through a phone and not through a screen. And just eating real food. Like I actually eat fruits and vegetables and meats again, not like, you know, mac and cheese and ramen and shitty processed sugars and stuff. And it's just, it's like when you just kind of when you kind of go back to like, if you like, in my mind, I think like, what was my great grandfather doing? Like, what was his diet like? What was his exercise like? What was his like life like? And I think we need to return to that. I know that whole return meme or whatever. But if we just kind of embrace like going back to like eating food, working hard, getting exercise, like having relationships with people that matter and not these like simple little jokes and memes online only, like that's fine to do. But if that's the only interaction you have with the outside world and with other people, I think it just really starts to break you down and make you mentally weak and overly emotional and pleasure seeking. And I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, and Sean, you stopped wearing your trench coat everywhere.
Yeah. I've never been a trench coat guy. It's kind of always creeped me out. Columbine really ruined the trench coat for me, you know?
But I think when we had you on last time, I mentioned this book, but I can't recommend F.A. Hayek's The Fatal Conceit enough. To this topic. It is such a good book. Like his keep in mind that Hayek was a classical liberal and an atheist. All right. And so think about that.
Gross.
Think about it. Wait a minute. It's going to get better.
Yuck.
Think about how incredible it is that a classical liberal atheist wrote a book about religion and how it relates to our biology in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I mean, like the fatal conceit in the book is mainly he was targeting college professors, but any person in whether it's government or whatever, an authority figure, teaching children that they can change nature, you know, and he was relating it to not only personal struggles, but also socialism. And he was saying, you cannot change nature. Millions of people are going to die if you try to fight nature, and it's not possible. And, but he also talks about a lot of porn wasn't a big thing in the, you know, 60s whenever he was writing the book, but
it wasn't in their pockets. Yeah.
Yeah. But it relates heavily to, I've been thinking about The Zero. We got to do like an episode 2 or 3 on just that book. That book is so good.
Well, okay. I'll look into ordering it and reading it.
Yeah, I'll read it too. We can have like a little book club review.
Ew.
Hell yeah.
A little book club.
It's not that long either. It's like 150 yeah. pages or something.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. Yeah, I can do that in 5 months. Yeah.
No, okay, cool. you're gonna have to learn how to read first.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you guys want to wrap it up there, and then maybe we'll do a Patreon only bonus?
Yeah,
sure. We have been recording for about 40 minutes, so
yeah. Well, do you want to wrap up my thoughts? This is actually what I said word for word from my live stream. Is that sure. Okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's also just a summary of what we've kind of been talking about. But I said on my last live stream, if men pursued meaningful, purposeful lives again and began seeking out truth, beauty, and love and embraced the hard work and struggle it takes to earn righteous rewards, our women wouldn't need or be able to degrade and embarrass themselves online for fame, money, and attention. It is our duty as men to grow up and work hard again, reject penis pleasures, and say no to the degeneracy pushed onto us by our rulers and masters, and end the smut supply. Stop watching porn, regain control of your mind and body, be strong again. Our damsels are in distress. It's time we go save them. And I think that's just like a good summary of my thoughts here. Sorry to all your Coomer and Squirt Boy fans, but those are my thoughts. And you can fight me. You can contact me if you want.
I have one more question for you, Sean. What are your thoughts on Jordan Peterson?
Oh, that crackhead? Is that what you're talking about? The crackhead over in Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gross. I think he's leading men astray. I think he's a grifter. I bought into it. I used to think, I mean, I read the Clean Your Room thing and, you know, liked some of those interviews he was doing where I thought he was a man standing up against the establishment and, you know, trying to encourage young men to get their lives together. But now it's just kind of clear to see that he's a hypocrite. He's a grifter and he's leading young men astray. He's given them, false hopes of, false hopes and pseudoscience diets that are, I don't know, destroying our physical bodies and our minds. And I think he's a gatekeeper too. I mean, my conspiracy mind leads me to believe that he and Joe Rogan and all those guys are gatekeepers for intellectual thinkers and revolutionary minded people. But in general, yeah, I mean, I used to be a big fan of him. And now I just kind of see him for what he is, which is just like a hypocrite and kind of capping the potential of men in society today. That's those are my unchecked true thoughts about Jordan Peterson. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know about Liberty Zero, but like I liked him a lot back in the day. And as I have gotten older and learned a bit more, I don't agree with him as much on certain things, but I think he did a lot of good for a lot of young men. And I think I'm very wary to talk about what he's going through currently negatively, because I've never been in the public eye to the level he was. And also I'd never have gone through the situation he was going through with his wife and cancer. Yeah. But I also think that, you know, he should have known a bit better than to get wrapped up in that medication. Yeah. But everything points towards the minute it got to a level where he recognized it was hurting him physically, he took the steps to stop it. That's what I see. I think in that situation, how far that situation progressed, I think that's the best possible thing he could have done. I also think, and then we don't know what was going on in the background. Like it's interesting that he went to Russia rather than to a Canadian or an American facility.
suspicious at best.
It's suspicious, but then, you know, like it occurred to me that like he might have been in physical danger. Like, let's say he is legitimate and he was doing things that the elites really didn't like. He may have had to pull a Snowden, you know?
Oh, well, that's another whole discussion on Snowden.
Do you know about him and John Podesta?
Who, Snowden or Peterson?
So Jordan Peterson worked with John Podesta. I don't know if you know that, or if you're familiar with Podesta's life's works. he was friends with John Podesta, worked with him on writing and brainstorming Agenda 21.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
This?
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
So,
and that's why
honestly,
I got
that just leads me to believe that, yeah, I mean, he's not against the establishment. He is ingrained heavily in the establishment.
Yes.
And he also got a lot of convenient airtime. You know, if you're truly a revolutionary and a controversial mind, and also if you're a person who's genuinely out there to wake young men up in society today, you're not going to end up on public TV. Like, you're not going to end up on primetime TV or being pushed in the YouTube algorithms and stuff like that. Like, they're going to tear you down. They're going to try to silence you and kick you off of platforms. And he just really seemed to be pushed and advanced on us by the quote unquote establishment. So I just don't trust him. I just I just look at him like, cause I really bought into him at first and I really bought into the whole clean your room. Like, get your fucking life together before you start telling other people or advising other people what to do.
And that's not
and the
untrue,
whole time he was a drug addict. You know,
but like that statement like, isn't untrue, you know,
that's true. Yeah. But like, still, I mean, if you're going to be like me right now, if I'm going to go on my live streams and tell people to stop watching porn and then I'm going to bed at night and I'm jacking off to porn, you know, like I wouldn't be saying like, just to me, I don't like or respect that. Like, if you're going to tell people, if you're going to give people advice, you need to be adhering to that advice too.
Yeah.
You're telling people to clean your room. Like, you need to have your own room clean. And it's just clear by now that his room was not clean when he was telling us that. And then, I mean, also it's a whole giant other discussion, but I just have a lot of thoughts about what he thinks and says about God. And I think he's leading people astray when it comes to religious conversations, but that's a big long thing to unpack.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I have a lot of disagreements, and that's coming from a guy who, you know, what was it? 2017, 2018. I was really getting into him and I read his book and I was really like watching every one of his appearances on TV shows and going like, finally, someone in the mainstream is telling young men to get their lives together and grow up. And then it's just been like nothing but disappointments ever since.
Yeah, well, you know, limited hangout.
Down the
road. But also, I will say, I'm rooting for him. I hope he does turn things around. And you are right. Like, it took a lot for him to publicly admit his drug addiction and go seek help, you know, instead of just continue hiding it and, you know, whatever. So like, I'm rooting for him. I do hope he turns things around. I would hope he's not a part of the establishment and some giant con job or whatever, but it just seems to be the case. So,
well, we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon. I will say one thing, Sean, I am very, very sympathetic to the Jungian, concept of religion. And it'd probably be a good episode to do at some point where you and I discuss that, not debate, but just, you know, discuss it.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. So, Sean, why don't you give your plugs?
Well, yeah, sweet. So, yeah, you can find, I have a bunch of podcasts on my channel, all in one channel feed at Sean V Planet on Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Podcasts. I also do streams, some video streams, live streams on DLive is where I do it live. That's going to expand in the future, but for now you can find me every Tuesday morning on DLive.tv. And then the replays of those streams can be found on my channel, Sean V Planet, on YouTube and BitChute. And then, yeah, follow me on all the social media accounts, Sean V Planet on Instagram, Gab, Telegram, Twitter. I'm on my third account, so you have to do Sean V Planet _V3 because Twitter gets grumpy at me from time to time. You can find all my blogs. I have a bunch of stuff going on and all my links are on seanvplanet.com.
So yeah, and all of that will be in the show notes. It'll be dissectingliberty.com/whatever number episode this is.
30th. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Come fucks with me. I'll debate you. If you want some heat, I'll bring it.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm Liberty Zero, reminding you to zero your rifle.
and I'm Cotton Arcist, reminding you to pick cotton voluntarily.
Sean, you have a gun yet?